Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Rylan. On this week's film review, we have a period drama, a prankster father in a wig, and a slasher comedy about pregnancy, of course. And helping me to get to grips with all three of these very different films is Anna Smith. Welcome to the show, Anna.
Thank you very much.
Now, another week, another Oscar-nominated film, this time in the form of Loving, Jeff Nichols' screenplay about a couple fighting for their interracial marriage in the 1950s in the state of Virginia. Let's hear a clip.
I'm going to build you a house. Right here. Our house.
I want to take Mildred up to D.C. to get married.
Are you sure about that?
By the power vested in me by the District of Columbia, I now pronounce you husband and wife.
In here?
Richie!
What you doing in bed with that woman?
I'm his wife.
That's no good here.
A little taster of the trailer there from Loving, with Ruth Negga and Joel Edgerton taking up the lead roles. Anna, this, of course, is based on a true story, and it is a remarkable story. However, I think the tale of their relationship is remarkable because it's really unremarkable in a way, isn't it?
Well, these are two people who didn't really want any trouble. They just wanted to go through their lives, loving each other, getting married, having a family, living a quiet life in Virginia. But because they were of different races and Virginia barred interracial marriage at that time, they were denied that right. So it really is about two people who are forced to go to court when they really don't want to, but who are forced to live in Washington, D.C. when they really want to be at home with their families in Virginia. So it's kind of a sad story in a way, but with, as we know, you know, a happy conclusion.
Indeed. And it feels as though looking at this, it takes place in a very different world to the one we've probably experienced. It's often easy to forget how recent this was, though. I mean, 1950s in Virginia, there are still a lot of people around today who can remember that very, very well.
Absolutely. I mean, it is very interesting to see. It's relevant in many ways still now, sadly. You know, the kind of clash between different races and different attitudes in different parts of the United States. And I think it depicts the sense of place and time beautifully. Jeff Nichols has a wonderful sense of time, and he really captures the late 50s and early 60s. It moves further into the 60s, both in the rural settings and in the city settings. And the costumes, the production design are exemplary.
I thought this was a very subtle film, and that's not a criticism necessarily at all. But those walking to this film expecting some sort of long epic journey with these characters, they may be somewhat disoriented by the fact that it's very stubborn in its depiction of the characters, because this is a very low drama. The characters are very softly spoken. There's not a lot of ebbs and flows in any of the events on the screen. How did you feel about that?
Stubborn's a really good way of putting it, I think. I think its greatest strength is its greatest weakness. I think, and on the one hand, it's very loyal to the truth. It's very loyal to these characters who, as I say, didn't want to be the centre of attention. They were softly spoken people, by all rights. And, you know, this is about ordinary people. But it could have gone, and you so almost want it to go the direction of that really stirring courtroom drama, you know, the one we all remember crying at, you know, where they stand up for their own rights and, you know, civil rights campaigners. And this sort of doggedly doesn't go in that direction and doesn't tug on the heartstrings, which is to its credit, but makes it somehow less memorable and less emotional, even though it's an enjoyable film to watch and it's very well made.
It sort of reminds you that history is very different to films, I think, because I did look at this film and feel a little element of disappointment, simply because it didn't leave me with any sort of big emotional impact. It's impossible not to be affected by the true story that underpins the film, but the film itself doesn't really hit you in that big way, does it? Is that okay to be watching a film like this based on something that's so important in real, actual history, and to walk away thinking, well, you know, it's not a super dramatic film, but hey, this really happened. Maybe that's what it needs to be in order to pay proper tribute.
Well, it's admirable in a way. I think it's quite restrained of Jeff Nichols. And when I saw this at Cannes, everyone was sort of saying the same thing. Well, that's very impressive that he didn't do that. But sort of deep down, they kind of wanted that emotional going for the jugular. I was disappointed only in the respect that I'm a big fan of Jeff Nichols and that I've loved his previous work. And this wasn't a thriller. It was a straight drama.
Well, that is Loving. It's out now in the United Kingdom and continues to roll out in cinemas all around the world throughout February. Now let's move on to Toni Erdmann. This is a German comedy. Haha, yes, it's true. The German comedy was the talk of the town at Cannes this year. Anna, I'm not going to try and attempt to tell our listeners what it's all about. I'm going to give that challenge to you.
Oh, thank you very much. It's about a father-daughter relationship. The daughter is a fairly high-powered businesswoman and her father is clearly a prankster who, as she's been growing up, has done lots of kind of little pranks and jokes on her. He wears costumes. He's known in the local area, probably with a raised eyebrow, for making sort of lots of practical jokes. He then decides, when he's had his own sort of personal tragedy, he decides to go and follow her to her workplace in the city, where he persists in behaving in this way, much to embarrassment. Can you imagine your father looming up behind you at a drinks party for work, you're wearing a wig and false teeth. It's about more than their relationship. It is about the comedy of that, but it's about how we perceive humour and how we interact with each other in a way which we perceive to be comedic, and also about business. Part of this is almost like an office comedy, really, an office-based comedy. It's about how people interact in the workplace and the awkwardness of that.
This is. It feels like a small film to watch. It's about a very small story, but my goodness, is it long! It's actually an epic when you look at how long it actually goes for. Before we get into that, let's hear a little bit of a clip.
I'm Toni Erdmann. I'm consultant and coach.
Wow.
Also, ich habe zum Beispiel von meinem Vater gelernt, wie man eine Käsereibe benutzt.
Hm. Ist das eine spezielle Käsereibe?
I'm Ambassador Erdmann, and this is my secretary, Miss Schluck.
Hello.
Hi.
Willst du mich fertig machen oder was? Papa, ich rede ja.
Wenn es um Ihren Vater geht, dann bin ich nicht der Richtige.
This is such a bizarre film, Anna, and I mean, Marin Ade has done a wonderful job in underpinning this German comedy, which of course was always going to attract a few jibes along the way anyway. But she underpins this with such an enormous amount of human spirit. I mean, it's really a deep emotional journey. And that's the overwhelming feeling you get by the end of this almost 3-hour long film. It's quite an effort. Effort's the wrong word. It's quite a slug to sit through in the cinema. But after watching the film for a little while, you do get to understand what this film is all about. But, I mean, how did that really strange German comedy blend in with the emotional journey that you're going through?
I love the fact that it had the power to surprise. I never knew quite where it was going through that almost 3-hour running time. And it certainly had enough comedy to punctuate throughout to keep me going. And there's certainly a few real standout scenes towards the end that's worth hanging in for. I thought it was really the central character of the daughter interested me the most. And again, that she had the power to surprise. You're presented this with this woman who seems rather uptight businesswoman. You assume she's got no social life. You assume she's got nothing else going on. And then it peels back the layers and you see quite a lot more about her. Beautifully underplayed by the actress in question. You can see why this is Oscar nominated, and I really hope it gets it, actually.
Yeah, I feel it's definitely in there. Even when this was playing at Cannes, I remember there were so many people talking about this. This was such a hotly anticipated title, and it's no surprise that it's still continuing to resonate all this time later as well. But yeah, I mean, it's so interesting that this is sort of flying the flag for German comedy now, isn't it? Because even the posters that are up around the Tube here in London at the moment, they're actually still wearing that badge of yes, German comedy exists and it may just save your soul.
I know, it seems rather insulting, doesn't it? But at least it is a very praiseworthy film, and it is funny, and it does surprise us, because a lot of the films we have seen come out of Germany, particularly that have been successful in this country, have been very political or historical and quite serious, and it is good to see something a bit different. And this particular brand of slightly surreal comedy, which I think in Britain in particular, we probably appreciate if you think about the sort of an output we've had in the past with Monty Python and so
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. Actually, yeah, just before we finish on this title, the style of humour is very specific, isn't it? Because anyone who's used to watching a comedy film where there's the typical joke, you know, you've got the setup and you've got the punchline and then we quickly move on to the next one, you know, that classic sitcom style, completely the opposite to that. A lot of this humour is funny simply because it is just so strange.
It blends various things. It's the comedy of awkwardness, it's kind of situation comedy, it's surreal comedy, it's deadpan, it's underplayed, it's shocking, it's clever.
That is Tony Erdmann, which is definitely worth a look. That's out now in the United Kingdom and Hong Kong as well. Now let's move along to our final title for today. We have the British film Prevenge by Alice Lowe. She's known better as an actress, starring in films such as Hot Fuzz and the dark comedy Sightseers. Prevenge is her directorial debut and sees her continuing down that dark comedy genre. Anna, tell us all about Prevenge.
Well, this is an extraordinary film just in the making of story. Alice Lowe was 7 months pregnant when she decided to make her directorial debut, and she also stars in it as a pregnant woman. I think she did a shoot for mostly about 2 weeks, and it's an extraordinary accomplishment. And it also challenges a lot of the perceptions that we have about pregnant women on film. You know, so often they're the sort of hysterical woman in the corner or the very sort of benign, you know, motherly type. This is quite the opposite. This, her character, Ruth, is a serial killer who is got revenge on the brain, and we don't know why. So there's a good deal of tension and mystery as we go throughout the film, and she's bumping people off, as spurred on by her talking fetus, you know, the head obviously in her head. So it's, yeah, talking about surreal, this is surreal stuff, but it's also grounded in that very British kind of alternative comedy as well.
So do we eventually go on some sort of journey that tells us why she's got revenge on the brain? I'm assuming it's not simply because people won't give her a seat on the tube.
It is not that, no. It is... There is a backstory which is gradually revealed. She's targeting people who appear to be unrelated, and it's up to us to start working out how and why they may be related. Don't look too hard on the internet if you're going to see this film, because some people have given it away, but I think it's better if you don't know why. I found the reveal quite hard to take. It's got a dark heart, this film, but it's also very, very funny.
All right, let's hear a little bit of a clip.
I'm really sorry about your loss, and I know it's been very difficult for you. At the end of the day, you've got this force of nature now inside you. Baby knows what to do. Baby will tell you what to do. It's just nature's way.
I think nature's a bit of an arse, though, don't you?
So, okay, that doesn't really tell us too much about this film. I'm assuming that this is quite a complicated setup when we talk about some of the messages that are coming across in the film. On the one hand, it could be a very intelligent conversation starter about pregnancy and how we see it, how it's depicted. On the other hand, it might be just a simple slasher comedy.
I think it provokes discussion, but essentially, and it is a groundbreaking film by the very fact of its existence, but tonally, it is a darkly comic genre piece. So it is a slasher horror, which is exceptional because of the nature of its character and what she does and how unusual that is. But I would say it kind of shifts from the kind of situation comedy that we see on British television, you used to see on BBC Three a lot, and indeed we saw in Sightseers very much, to this extreme horror. And it's the contrast, as we saw in Sightseers, between the banalities and the mundanities of, you know, very ordinary suburban British life with these kind of extreme scenarios she finds herself in. And the dialogue is very sharp and funny.
Okay, so if we were to draw some sort of timeline, like a scale as to where we are in history at the moment with pregnancy and how it's depicted in the cinema or just on screen, maybe we could start with something like Bewitched back in the 60s, and we had Samantha Stevens having to wear those funny sort of smock clothes where she wasn't allowed to show any shapes or anything while she had Tabitha inside her. And then we'll get maybe to Demi Moore being sexy pregnant. Where does this put us on the scale?
Well, I think we're still in our infancy, as it were, when it comes to depicting pregnant women in a way that is less than cliched. Things like Rosemary's Baby, I'm sure, were in Alice's mind in this, the idea of, you know, what is this child thing growing inside me, the sort of body invasion idea. But I think that there's a long way to go in terms of pregnant women being characters in their own right and having something to say that doesn't just necessarily relate to their condition.
Well, that is Prevenge. And the posters that I've just seen up dotted around London at the moment are very eye-catching indeed. That's out in the United Kingdom on February the 10th. And that brings us to the end of today's programme. Thanks to my guest today, the critic Anna Smith. You have been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Ryland. The show was produced by Holly Fisher and researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time on Monday. We'll be talking art with Kathleen Fox-Davies. But for now, goodbye from me. Thanks for listening. We'll